Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of Ezra, chapter 6. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Other, but over the years as we've grown together in the Lord, you just are in awe of how perfect of a fit we are to each other. And I can go on and on about our fellowship as a church, how we are perfect for each other, that the fellowship here is so sweet. It's like Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When we see each other, we're so stoked. We're so happy and blessed. It's a perfect fit. When we purchased this church, when God gave us this church, it was a perfect fit for the size of our church and room to grow. It's even perched up on a perch, if you will. The neighborhood drops down so I can see the hills from where my help comes from. You know, we could have been dropped in the neighborhoods all around us. I mean, we'd have to get on the roof to see the hills from where our help comes from. But no, perfect from so many angles. He's just perfect. But it wasn't overnight. What's the perfect fit is us and the Lord. That happens immediately. His Spirit, His peace, His joy. It's like all is right with the world now. But because we're in these broken fleshly bodies, it takes time to get. You know, we're living stones, as Peter said, and you know, sometimes we grind against each other like this, and it's rough, and it's coarse, and it's like sandpaper, and it doesn't feel right, but then after a while, woo, it's a perfect fit, and you can't even get a sword in between us. You know, the unity He creates, the right fit. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 6 through 7, are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. God knows how many follicles we have on our head. Even me, they're there. He sees, He knows everyone. He knows the details. He knows. You know, and the psalmist said in 139, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. God knew the things that you would like, the colors you would like, the fabrics you would like, the home you would like. I remember when our house was in escrow and we lived in an apartment in Redlands. I remember living in El Monte with her. And she did 6 months in the Vadio before we came out here to prove herself that a girl from Pretty World and from Pretty Means can be married to someone like me, and I was someone like her. I'm engulfed in prettiness now, Pretty World. And we go and we drive around Orange County and go to Rogers Gardens and go to Corona Del Mar and little fancy places. And it is what it is. God knew that I would like fancy things too. So, well, we're King's children. We should get used to fancy stuff. But the perfect details. Its height 60 cubits and its width 60 cubits with 3 rows of heavy stones and 1 row of new timber. Let the expenses be paid from the king's treasury. God's perfect provisions are there all the way. It's a famous saying that Pastor Chuck used to always say, right? Where God guides, He provides. He'll always give you what you need. For every work of the ministry God puts on your heart, He will provide. If He's put it on your heart and you're obedient and faithful and you wait on the Lord, He will provide.
We have records going way back to the early days of the tithes and offerings. I don't know who gives, but I know the end of the month, the totality, so we can pay bills. But just to see over the years, incredible how God provided. And he provided, you know, for my family through my job for 20 years with Caltrans and 10 years wherever else I was working before then and doing both by vocation. He's always taking care. Was it always my ideal? No. But wow, you hang in there with the Lord. You honor him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He'll get a king from a distant land to take care of your provisions. And that's what's happening in our story. Also, let the gold and the silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple, which is in Jerusalem, and brought to Babylon, be restored and taken back to the temple, which is in Jerusalem, each to its place. I mean, that's your life. That's mine. I hear God's heart in this. He declares, I want him restored. I want her restored. Back to her place, back to his place. You know, growing up in a very hurtful atmosphere as a child, you know, like many of us have experienced that. No father around, or abusive parents, or none at all, orphanages, whatever. We come to Jesus and he restores. He restores. One of the best kind of verses on restoration you'll find in Joel chapter 2, verse 25. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. God will restore the years that the locust. You know, I'm part Hawaiian, and that's why I'm so big and tall. You know, there's tall Mexicans too. I'm half Mexican, but you know, not too many growing up. But I always thought, man, if I had a good family, I would have liked to play football. I would have liked to play on the basketball team. You know, and I'm always asked, you know, whoa, did you play football? No, I was a gang member, unfortunately. But guess what happened when I got saved? I took up basketball. And I would read my word as a single guy and play basketball at the gym in North El Monte that was open during the day, and college guys, my same size, would practice. And so I would play with the best guys basketball every day. And it helped me stay out of trouble, because if you're single and a new believer, you want to stay busy in good stuff. If you're not, you're not very smart. So I did that a lot. And I got so good I'd practice during the day and play these best of 7 one-on-ones with another 6'3" muscular guy. And we just go at it. And he played college ball and I got really good. And then at night it would open up for open play and guys would come from Monrovia and various cities to play there. And I was just so grateful to the Lord that I'm getting to play what I always wanted to play, but didn't get to play. And that I was always reminded of this verse in Joel that he restores the years that the locust has eaten away. And he gave me basketball. And then I was asked to be a part of 2 leagues. So I played in one. Oh no, then Pastor Chuck would open the gym after Sunday night service for basketball. So I'd go see Chuck Sunday night, then go in the gym and play everyone there. And I was asked to join a league there, so I played in a league in Westminster. And it was an A league, so it was a really good league. And anyhow, he gave me back basketball. He gave me basketball. He gave me tennis. Just things that kids like to do, but like in my older age, because I missed all of that. He's given me fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. He puts those who are in solitary into families because he wants us restored to healthy minds and healthy hearts, patient people to love us, and that's what the church is. But he truly restores. So as this declaration, may it be restored and taken back to the temple, which is in Jerusalem, each to its place, and deposit them in the house of God. And that's what happened to you and I. God deposited you and I in where? The house of God, right? Now, therefore, Tattenai, governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar, Bosnai, and your companions, the Persians who are beyond the river, keep yourselves far from there. King Darius just put them on check right there. Keep yourself far from the building. This is the start of King Darius's decree. King Cyrus, he read that King Cyrus wanted it rebuilt. So now he's saying, all you guys, don't give them any problems. Keep far away from there, which is just a beautiful thing. How it could have gone either way. Could have gone either way. King Darius could have said, no, you know what? Yeah, that was written by King Cyrus, but I'm a different king and I'm going to change things up. No. God turned what they meant for evil to good. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. None. It may seem like the weapons are prospering, but when we get on our knees in prayer, when we read the word, we're comforted, we're strengthened, and we remember these things. We need a letter that says, don't mess with my sons and daughters. And we have it. It's right here. Pick an epistle, any epistle. It's sure to encourage you. Don't let the devil or opposition mess with. The opposition only proves that God's doing something. That's all it does. And so here it comes. Stay away. Keep yourselves far from there. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God on its site. Moreover, I issue a decree as to what you shall do for the elders of these Jews, for the building of this house of God. Let the cost be paid at the king's expense from taxes on the region beyond the river. This is to be given immediately to these men so that they are not hindered. And whatever they need, young bulls, rams, and lambs for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the requests of the priests who are in Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail. How beautiful is this, that God would use the adversaries to then provide for the building? The taxes that we're collecting from everybody, get that money and give it to them. Any needs that they need, day by day, give it to them. We see our Lord praying, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, day by day, our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. He taught us that we are to be dependent on his provisions day by day and to come to him in prayer. We start our day that way. Our afternoons, we continue it. We meditate in the evenings on his word. Man, we are going to be built up. We are going to see the provisions coming in like never before. But so many of us don't start our day that way. There's no thy kingdom come, thy will be done mornings for a lot of Christians. That's the problem. And so there's no daily bread coming in. It's scarce. You know, I think the proverb said that the stomach of the righteous is, you know, he eats to his contentment. And so, you know, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. But first, let me say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in my life. Let me live this day for you. And then, Lord, thank you for the provisions and give me more provisions day by day, day by day, just like day by day they were to receive it. I'm blessed in my backyard, man. There's so many sparrows there. I think God's doing something big. They weren't always there. Maybe I've grown in the Lord where God has trusted us with more sparrows. But they're around to remind me. Not one of them falls to the ground without him knowing. He's going to take care of your provisions. You would think something like this. What if the governor flips out again? You know, can't find his hair gel and, you know, he just loses it and says, oh, close it down again. I'm not afraid. As I see in scripture, nothing can stop us from meeting in this house. Amen. Nothing. So, yep. Let it be given to them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet aroma to the God of heaven. Wow. Does it take a heathen king to remind us, the church, what it means when we pray to the Lord, that it is a sweet aroma to him? Something sweet, something like that, I guess. I don't know. Something sweet. It means so much to God when we pray. He delights in the prayers of the righteous, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet aroma to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. There are so many people out there who have heard about Jesus, who have thought about Jesus, but are not living for Jesus. And they're in places of prominent places in the world. And some of them have an interesting soft heart towards the church and would say, here's this, here's that, will you pray for me? They're almost there, but they're still like the rich young ruler. The money still grips them, you know. And so, but I see here that he's saying, give them all this stuff and make sure that they pray for the life of the king and his sons. Has anybody out there ever told you, knowing that you're a believer, will you just please pray for me? You can say to them, because you know they don't know God, I will, but God wants to hear from you. He wants your heart and he wants to save you. But yes, I'll pray for you. Also, I issue a decree that whoever alters this edict, let a timber be pulled, interestingly, from his house and erected, and let him be hanged on it. And let his house be made a refuse heap because of this. Oh, that's so radical. It's got to be ungracious and unloving, or maybe it's not. Maybe God takes serious his house. Maybe God takes serious his house. We saw what our Lord did, right? The beginning of his ministry and at the end, he flipped over tables. And because they were ripping people off, he said, my Father's house is a house of prayer. You have turned it into a den of thieves. My favorite reading of it is when he sat there and he made a cord of a whip. You know, you get to just watch Jesus, the disciples. What's he doing with that leather, those leather straps? Braiding them. Pop, pop. Ta, ta. And just, you know, with self-control and righteous indignation, he whipped those animals out of there. Flipped over the money changers' tables. He cares about his house. He wants us to care for his house too. So it's a good reminder.
And may the God who causes his name to dwell there destroy any king or people who put their hand to alter it. Who put their hand to alter it. May God who causes his name to dwell there destroy any king or people who put their hand to alter it or to destroy this house of God, which is in Jerusalem. I, Darius, issue a decree. Let it be done diligently. Let no one alter it. You know, it reminds me of Revelation, the end of Revelation, where it says, if anyone takes the words out of these prophecies, out of this book, or alters it, let him be accursed, or the curses of this book, may they be upon him. Yeah, God's serious. He's holy. He cannot be played. We're told as he is holy, we are to be holy. And there is no other way to be holy but then to be close to Jesus. We have to be closer to Jesus than ever before. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, he said. That we could learn from him and find rest for our souls. He is lowly of heart. We need to be lowly of heart. We need to be kind as he is. We need to be loving as he is. We need to be holy as he is. And that can only come from close intimacy with Jesus on a daily basis. On a daily basis. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be kind like Jesus. I want to be long-suffering like Jesus. I just want his attributes, don't you? Yes. Yeah. And that is our goal. That's why we're alive. That we can spend more time with them, that people might see him in our lives. He did not come to for the praises of men or to live for himself, but for the will of the Father. And when we're close to Jesus, we know that we're close when we can honestly say, by his grace, we're living for him and not for ourselves anymore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that it would just continue to minister to us as we go on about our night and this week. May it bear deep roots and sweet fruit in our lives. We love you, Lord. Bless your word. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to you. And Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith, that we would believe in your goodness and in your promises of restoration, of building a firm foundation in our lives, and providing day by day, and all of these lessons that are in Ezra 6, that we would just believe them. Let not the enemy snatch it out of our hearts. Let not doubt creep in. But I pray for a new dosage of faith upon our hearts tonight. Bless those who are watching this. Bless those who would hear this on the radio. We pray, Lord, stir up the hearts in the Pass area. And I mean all cities, Cherry Valley, Beaumont, Banning. Lord, send them from all over who need Jesus. Prepare them for Easter that's coming, Resurrection Sunday. And while all heads are bowed, if there's anybody here who wants to get right with God, you want all your sins forgiven, you need to be born again, please raise your hand. And all the sins that you've ever committed will be taken away. If you have not done that, just raise your hand and I can say a prayer. Father, we thank you again and ask your blessing upon our fellowship. Be the center of our conversations, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and together we say, amen.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.